This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, Howard number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, here from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Get back to these calls, 855-212-4227. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. By the way, Tiki, it is Ryder Cup week here. And I was doing a little research this morning, a little work, and I stumbled upon an interesting tweet from the Ryder Cup Twitter account. And it's, I don't know, 25, 30 seconds, and Tiger Woods decked out in his Ryder Cup gear, which,
of course,
I like the uniforms this year. I don't know if I love them. I think I like the last ones better. They've had some ugly ones. It's fine. It's, I don't know if it's our best.
It's USA.
True. It's better than the ones we were wearing when Justin Leonard knocked in that ridiculous putt. Right. We stormed the greens like we were storming Normandy. I mean, and basically acted like, well, yeah. I mean, that's where the comparison ends. Normandy was amazing. The heroic nature of that. But we just jumped on the greens like a bunch of clowns that day and got really hit for it. But the point is, Tiger was asked, and I don't know that any other athlete could get away with this. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with him, by the way. He was asked, Tiger, by the way, who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of golf? You know, and he said Ben Hogan, he said Sammy Snead, of course said Jack, and he said, me. And he looked at the camera, he said, me. Now, like, imagine.
No Arnold? I mean.
No. He's better than Arnold. I mean, we miss Arnold so much. Arnie's.
He's a legend.
Nice. Tiger's.
It depends.
Comfortably
it depends
in front of the great
on,
Arnie Palmer.
It depends on when Rushmore is built.
Here we go. Mr. Literal's entering the building. You know what I'm saying. But imagine if, like, Tom Brady was asked that question, and he was like, Johnny Unitas, Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor, and me. Or Barry Bonds said, you know, Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, Sandy Koufax, and me. I mean, Tiger Woods might be the only athlete. Now, even LeBron. Now, LeBron could say it.
LeBron could do it.
But LeBron would get hit hard for saying it by.
Yeah, but LeBron's a top four player.
Of course he is. That goes without saying. Doesn't mean he wouldn't get hit back for it, though.
Yeah.
Nobody's even going to challenge that. Oh, yeah, Tiger, you're right, by the way. Isn't that amazing?
Do you think it's the singular nature of golf
that
allows you to be, like, ridiculously cocky?
Well, here's the thing.
And I don't mean that in, like, a negative way. Not like I'm bigger than you, but just
I
know
like
I'm good.
You point to the achievement.
You're right.
I mean, so
you're right.
When we talk about, you know, Tom Brady, when we talk about Peyton, who had some bad playoff games, as we well know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers, only has the one Super Bowl win so far, despite being as gifted as anybody in the history of the game in terms of, you know, just the skill set. You have to peel back five or six layers, and that leads to a lot of shades of gray when discussing players within team sports.
Yeah, you're right. If it wasn't for Adam Vinatieri, I mean, Tom Brady doesn't have two of those.
That's true.
I'm just being real.
Doesn't have the first
Seriously,
one. Pretty
no
pedestrian,
doubt.
For
exactly.
sure. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, like if Kobe said that, Kobe's never one to run away from his own accomplishments. If Kobe said, yeah, it's Michael, it's Kareem.
Magic.
It's LeBron and myself. You know, I mean, here's the inherent difference with sport, separation between golf and the other sports. We don't passionately debate golf.
No.
We'll respond to the big moments, the majors, like even over the weekend. I couldn't wait to talk Tiger yesterday, the Ryder Cup. But it's a different level of debate, energy.
It's also, it's almost like you're not competing against someone. You know what I mean? So it's different type of, you're competing against the course, right? You are obviously competing against someone else who's also competing against the course, but it's really the competition is, man, did you figure out Augusta?
The competition's par.
Yeah.
The competition's not Phil.
Exactly.
Or Rory.
Exactly.
Or Dustin. Even though it is.
It is.
It
right.
isn't.
You're right. So it's
all relative to par.
So you can be cocky and not necessarily offend your opponents. where is in other sports, if Tom Brady's saying, I'm the best ever, he's kind of offending guys that came before him.
I wonder, and we'll never know the answer to this, and we'll get back to Le'Veon Bell here in a second. I wonder if he would have been so quick with me, to say me, if he didn't win this weekend. Like, has that propelled him emotionally? Like, has that given him another? Because he kind of lost his license to gloat.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't play well, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just winless for a while. I wonder if that kind of put a little wind in his sails. Like, that's right, I am the man.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm still the man.
Yeah. He's got confidence,
Tiger.
That's for sure.
Go get him,
I told
Tiger.
You I reached out to Joe LaCava.
Yeah, you didn't tell me.
Yeah, so he wrote me back, and he was like, he worked so hard.
Wait,
Tiger.
You wrote to him after he won this weekend?
Yeah, wrote him
no,
on Sunday.
No, he didn't tell me this.
And so Joey wrote me back. He's busy, obviously, because they flew over to France.
Yeah, Tiger played a practice round today with Phil.
This weekend. And so
and DeChambeau.
He was like, he worked so hard this offseason, and so he's got his confidence back because he won.
He's got
his mojo back.
Yeah.
And if LaCava sees it, then it's there.
That's awesome. We got to get Joe on the show at
some
point.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Because Joe, listen, Tiger does no radio interviews. No. I remember a couple years ago, he went on Mike and Mike. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Mike and Mike, but I got to be honest. It was just a lame interview.
Yeah.
Because there's just things he's not going to answer.
Yeah.
And it's more about product push and about his school, and which is great, but you got to ask some tough questions. And it just wasn't that kind of interview. I think Joe is the kind of guy, not that he's going to dish on the girls he dated. We don't even care at this point. But he'll take us inside his mind, and I think he would give us a really good interview. Got to get him on.
And Joe also had a... Freddie Couples for a long time. I mean, he's had two guys that had serious back injuries. It's interesting when you think about it.
Who's the other one? Santa just said something.
Freddie Couples.
Oh, he's right. He did have Freddie.
He started with Freddie.
Freddie Boom Boom.
For like 20 years, he was with Freddie Couples. And then Freddie said, go find somebody younger. And he was on DJ's bag for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then ultimately wound up with Tiger.
We haven't heard much from Boom Boom this summer. Usually you get the occasional, first round leader, Freddie Couples. on the Freddie with the first round, 66. You're and then he kind of wilts as you get deeper into the event. But Freddie's one of the all-time great characters of the game. I don't know anybody that has come in contact with Freddie Couples that doesn't like Fred Couples. Do you watch the Ryder Cup? I mean, the years we've been together, I personally love it.
I watched the last one because it was just entertaining.
And it was important. We won that.
Yeah.
We had to beat them.
It was Patrick Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Who just wrapped me into it. And so we obviously had Pat on after he won the Masters. Yep. And his first major held off, Ricky Fowler, he held off down the stretch at the Masters.
Didn't play well down the stretch, Ricky.
No. Patrick Reed, it was the reason. Because his energy, man, I was like, dude, that if I was playing professional golf, that's how I would play.
That's how I would play. That, I don't know. You would be more subdued.
In a team
I would
sport,
be like Patrick Reed. I don't know if you would be.
In a team game like that, I was emotional.
Yeah,
when
on the football field, you were.
I'm cerebral, off, but when I'm playing something, when I'm competing, I'm emotional, right? And so that's how I would have been if I was. If I was playing in the Ryder Cup, a team event like that,
and
where it's
you need
us
guys like
world.
That, we've lacked that. Like you had for a long time. I remember the image in Michigan when I don't know why they decided. Was it Hal Sutton? Mike, can you
that
double check?
Well,
Hal certainly was a captain 1 year. Can you double check? I know that it was in Michigan when Tiger and Phil paired up. Can you see if
that's
that
the one
was...
they hated each other? Right?
That was when but they I feel like Hal wasn't the captain that year because I feel like Phil. Really took it. No, I think it may have been how, whatever it was, but it was the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Tiger and Phil were they were rotating in different directions toward the sun. They just couldn't, because they were playing best ball or alternate shot. And Phil put one out of bounds left, like he pushed it as a lefty. And the camera caught Tiger just staring at him.
Oh,
his teammate.
Oh, four.
Like Venevis, who, like, I got to drop two and hit three from there. What are you doing to me? Like, it was ugly. And for a long time, and seriously, people who follow golf and know golf a lot more than I do, that was like chemistry was never important to Team USA, and they completely hit a reset button.
Because you don't think of it as you don't think of golf. We were just talking about it. You don't look at golf as a team sport.
We didn't. Team Europe always did.
That's why they waxed it.
Sergio's had a bad season. Mm. Watch Sergio. And I'm not saying we're not going to win. We should win. We're favored, and we've got the better roster, 1 through 12. But a guy like Patrick Reed came in and said, I don't know about this old school nonsense where we don't have any fun, but if I hit a birdie from 20 feet, I'm throwing a fist and the entire gallery is going to be behind me. Let's go.
Yeah, we had
we had to get some energy.
Yeah, and he's good too. We had Patrick after he won the Masters, which was great.
Yeah, that was a good interview. What a crazy story how we went to school Augusta State. Remember that?
Yeah.
And his parents didn't go.
He was playing at home.
But his parents didn't go to the course.
I know.
He's estranged from his parents still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
remember
right.
that? They
that's
watched right. the Masters 2 miles from Augusta.
Yeah, he was talking about his wife's parents. Who
he's friends with, who he's very
tight with, but not his parents. Yeah.
So Ryder Cup's coming up this week, and we'll definitely get somebody on probably Thursday to help us give us a little more of a detailed preview. But Ryder Cup's pretty awesome. So is this Shaquem Griffin, one hand, rookie linebacker, and you know it's a basic question, but I really am going to ask him. You know, playing with one hand in college versus playing with one hand in the NFL, he's starting as a rookie linebacker for Seattle.
Yeah.
Is it harder than you thought? He's doing okay. We'll talk to him coming up next. Really looking forward to this conversation. That it's a reality check Tuesday, so we have a lot to do. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
If you're looking for a podcast to listen to, how about jumping in on mine? Tiki's Barbershop, presented by Geico. There's tons of interesting conversations on there. Christopher Jackson, who's an actor, some athletes around the league, including my twin brother, who talks about a bunch of things that he's involved with. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? How about an RV? What about a boat? Homeowners or renters insurance? Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico can help you with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all. Geico.com. Reality Check Tuesday coming up next segment. NBA training camp's open. LeBron had some interesting things to say. Carmelo Anthony as well. You know, we'll get to that. Benjamin Watson from the Saints to tight end. He'll join us at 5:20 Eastern. The Saints of the Giants, a couple of miles from here. Teak, right now, though, really, what are the best stories that you and I have ever come across? We had his brother on a couple of weeks back, and we all remember when he first burst on the scene in college, number one, because he showed up on every tape because he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
And then when you looked a little closer, you saw that he was without both hands, which is just I couldn't even imagine. And we're joined by Shaquem Griffin, who is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, rookie for Seattle. Shaquem, how are you today, buddy? What's happening? Welcome to our show.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, man. Thanks for hopping on. We had your twin. We call you twin. You're joining. Listen, you're talking to another twin. That's a special thing. But we ask your brother, you know, how exciting it was for him to have you get drafted. And he said he was whispering in the GM's ear, hey, you know, my brother's still there, and go get him. But for you, you know, being able to fulfill this dream and come play in the National Football League and do it with your twin, I mean, it's unbelievable. What's the emotion been like for you? Especially, it's real. I mean, you made the team, you started your first game, and you're in it.
I mean, it's just been so real for me so far. I mean, there's been so much going on that I haven't really got a chance to kind of sit down and kind of take everything in. So right now, it all seems like it's still a dream. I mean, me being out there, being with my brother, being on the same team, us living together, I mean, it's amazing and it's crazy at the same time. And, you know, I feel like at one point, you know, once everything kind of slowed down, it's going to actually sit in and hit. But right now, it's just me just going out there and just giving all I got, and I got my brother beside me to do it with.
Yeah, no, I'm jealous because I always wanted to play with my brother, and I never got a chance to do it. But you know, here's the thing, Shaquem. Did you believe that it would happen? Because I'm sure people told you along the way, yeah, you're good, but yeah, you're balling here in college. But did you ever think that you would get the chance?
I mean, at one point, I was wondering if I was gonna play college ball, and you know, I got a new coach and he gave me opportunity. I mean, that's the only thing I always look for is opportunity. You know, I wasn't worrying about the draft or getting drafted. I just know if I was going to land on somebody's team, then that's when I was going to make a name for myself. So I was already prepared for, you know, what lies ahead. And, you know, all I be asking for is opportunity. I mean, that's all I need. I don't need nothing else other than that. You know, you give me a chance, you know, opportunity, that's all I need. I'm going to take full advantage of it.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
a great message.
We all remember what you did in the Peach Bowl. All remember what you did in college in general. Toto Shaquem Griffin with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And as much as you've overcome the physical disability, I'm very curious how you know, going from Pop Warner to high school and then high school to college and now, of course, college to the pros, which is the biggest jump in the world. It the speed's different, and I would imagine that you've got to work around the fact that you only have one hand a little differently. Does it feel different in the game, or does it feel exactly the same?
I mean, for me, it's exactly the same. I'm not going to change up how I tackle or how I catch or how I do anything. At the end of the day, it's just me working my craft and, you know, taking the details that the coaches give me and knowing that they're going to put me in the right position to make plays and everything. You know, I'm not going to change the kind of player I am. You know, obviously I'm using my speed and wherever I'm doing or where I'm going. But the whole thing is just me learning and knowing the plays and knowing where I need to go and where I need to get to, because now I can be able to, you know, use my speed as my advantage and actually know where I'm going.
Yeah, you know,
I think the most part is just, you know, learning and knowing what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, it's everybody in any position. But you talk about, you know, doing it the way you've always done it. Is there a science to how you have to tackle? Is it getting your head upfield? Is there something that you've learned over the years that have made you not a liability tackling people, if you know what I mean?
I mean, for me, I was just learning from an early age. I mean, my dad used to always say, chase the rabbit. And that was us just tracking near hip. You know, find the hip, you know, see it, and then wherever you go. And I think that us learning that at a young age and us playing football in front of the house and stuff, and, you know, we just having all our friends and me and my brother just going out and just playing ball in front of the street, it was us to learn. Like, somebody's going to try to shake you. Find your hip, and you just keep tracking it until you get there. And then as I got older, I was starting to get better and better at it. And it's like, okay, now if I find a hip and, you know, obviously I got help outside and I'm inside, let me go ahead and run full speed to the hip. And then if you want to shake outside, I still got somebody right there. So it's like I got better at knowing where I need to be and where my help at. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, you're not the only player out there. You know, you win at your leverage.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day is if I see a near hip, I'm going to track it. And then I'm going to take my shot right then and there.
I love that. You know, it reminds us of the event that you're not the event, but the campaign that you're on with Gillette. Your best never comes easy. And I love this quote that they included in here. No man achieves greatness in isolation. And you talk about your relationship with your father. And this campaign is amazing. I mean, we all have father figures, either our fathers or those who were surrogates for our fathers. Tell us what you're doing with Gillette and why this campaign is so important to you and your brother, your twin brother, and your father.
I mean, it's extremely important, and I'm just glad and I'm blessed to be a part of, you know, Gillette family and them showcasing my story and my family. And, you know, I think that's important when you have a brand that can showcase that and have your family involved with it. And when it says your best never come easy, it was exactly that. And it's kind of cool to kind of see the outcome of that story and the commercial of it, because even when I seen it, I got chills from it.
That's cool.
Because it kind of reminded me and it took me back to what I was doing just to get to this point. And it was me coming home from, you know, football practice and doing extra workouts or doing push-ups before I went to bed or just outside just doing extra stuff, because I knew we had to do whatever it took to separate ourselves from others. And, you know, me being able to see it again, it just took me back and it gave me chills. And, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of a brand that can show everybody, you know, who I am and where I came from.
Yeah, man. Oh, by the way, those blades ain't cheap, man, especially the ones with five blades. So I know they sent you a nice shipment, so you saved some money there as well. I'm a Gillette guy.
Like, yeah.
And first time I saw the commercial, I was actually...
We both use it on our domes.
On our domes, exactly, which is tough, because and we shave a lot. So, again, they're not cheap, but they are good. I'm walking by the TV, and I have two little ones, and I saw your commercial for the first time, and I just walked back, and the scene... When you're at the sink with your pops, it really is poignant, and it really is tremendous. So it's very well done. I echo what Tiki said. It's very just a really good campaign. Talking to Shaquem Griffin. All right, so let me ask you, Earl Thomas is about 15, depends on the set, 10, 12, 15 yards behind you. What's that like?
I mean, it's cool that have him back there. I mean, I'm learning so much from him, Bobby, and KJ, and, you know, they're great mentors. And, you know, obviously – when you become a vet, you know, you have a choice. If you want to just, you know, focus on yourself and do what you need to do in it with the team, or, you know, you have the young guys behind you. And I think that we have a great group of guys because they don't choose to worry about themselves. You know, they make sure they call us in the morning. They make sure that you get in here taking care of your body. You know, Bobby and KJ, they'll pay for some of the linebackers' massages. And it's just things that, you know, you don't you don't expect, but they actually just do it because it's just they're good guys. And, you know, having, you know, Earl Thomas back there, and, you know, he's definitely a big mentor of mine. I look up to him, too. And, you know, being able to talk to him and, you know, feed off their energy, which is very contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I try to make a play or I make a play and then seeing them run up the sideline, you know, to celebrate with me, it's amazing to have guys like that, you know, who's willing to help you and better you and, you know, celebrate you when you do good and always help you even through the tough times. I mean, it's amazing, and I'm just grateful to be a part of that.
Now, you got brought into a really good situation, even though there's, I wouldn't say it's a rebuild in Seattle, it's certainly a retooling here. First couple of games you played, one was at Denver, one was in Chicago, so you finally got it home, and take us on the field. Nice win against the Cowboys. You know, when that place, I mean, when it's third and seven.
That's one of the hardest places in the league.
You know.
You can't hear.
What is it like being on the field when your fans are into it, going nuts? What does that feel like? What does that sound like?
I mean, it's the sound of it. You can't hear nothing. I mean, that was the first time. Like, the preseason is one thing.
Yes.
But when they said that, when you get the season and then it was a home opener, I mean, I couldn't hear anything. I felt like I was just talking to myself. Like, I was trying to communicate with my coach, and I felt like he was ignoring me, but he just didn't hear me. And then I was like, okay, are you ignoring me or are you just not hearing me? So I had to get used to that, too. I'm just yelling for everybody just to get a hold of them, and, you know, trying to make a call and stuff, and people not hearing me. They say, yell louder. So I'm, like, trying to adjust to that. But, you know, feeding off their energy. I mean, feeding off how loud they get and, you know, it definitely can be very distracting if you are opposing the offense. Yeah, I mean, you can't hear nothing. So it definitely helps out, and you can tell.
You know, Sakeem, you had an unbelievable season last year in college at UCF, and your head coach, Scott Frost, he was great. I know Scott from his playing days. He was here with the Jets for a minute, and then he played with my brother down in Tampa before he ultimately got into coaching. But he's struggling a little bit out in Nebraska. Have you talked to him since you left school to get ready for the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with him all the time. I mean, I speak with all the coaches every once in a while. I mean, I spoke to the team, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just chopping it up with them. And, you know, obviously it's all about just building right now. You know, even when he came to us, I mean, it didn't start off the best. You know, we had to build and we had to get comfortable. You had to, you know, create new relationships and you had to get a feel for everybody. And I feel like that's where the point at right now is, you know, you just came back home. You know, you're trying to build something there, and it's like starting all over. But, you know, I feel like once they, you know, build that relationship, once they get guys up and rolling,
yeah.
I mean, it's no doubt in my mind that they're going to have an amazing team, man. It's all about building right now, and I know he's the man to do it.
What kind of coach is he? Is he a screamer? Is he chill? What's he like? Because I know what he was as a person, as a player, but what's he like as a coach?
I mean, for me, he's like Pete Carroll. I mean, he's fun. He emphasizes on competing and, you know, he'll make sure you enjoy it. Like, it's nothing uptight. It's nothing that you got to come and say that I'm ready to go home. And, like, it's inviting. You know, you want to be at practice. You want to be up in the morning. You want to be able to interact with everybody. And, you know, he don't yell much. You know, if he yells at you, then it's something really wrong.
Yeah.
And not being here in Seattle, it's like having Coach Frost all over again. And that's kind of cool to have when you got a guy who's enjoying it while they're doing it. You know, it's not uptight. They're not stressing about too much. They just make sure that everybody's competing and having fun and make sure, you know, that everybody's taking in everything well.
All right, last question for you. Undefeated Peach Bowl champions. Are you guys national champs?
He's the MVP of the Peach Bowl.
I know he was. I'm talking about the team. Are you guys national champions?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's not going to never change. We definitely national champions. I got my ring. They put our banner up. You know, we national champions, man. Forever. You know, it's in the books now.
I love it. I love it. Don't listen to the noise and the haters.
It's not in every book, Shaquem, but I don't wanna slant it negatively. You guys were awesome, man. You deserve the chance to actually play for it. We all know that. So you got Josh Rosen, and you got Jared Goff and the high flying Rams, and you got Derek Carr. This is in succession. Then you have Matthew Stafford, then you have Phillip Rivers. Welcome to the NFL, young man. It's been a great journey. We're really happy for you, and it's really nice having you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You got Shaquem Griffin. Great story. Yeah, Seahawks linebacker.
Yeah, Samter, you found that commercial. I think Samter's going to put out the commercial that we were talking about.
It's a great one.
It is a great commercial. It's awesome how you see his journey. Yeah, Samter put it up already on our at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter and social media. It's an amazing family, man. It's a great family.
If his dad took a different approach, he wouldn't be playing in the NFL.
You're right. You're right.
You know, it's just it's almost like no, there's not you're this is your normal. Mm-hmm. This isn't you know, yeah, you're different, but it doesn't mean you can't excel.
You're right.
And the commercial captured that. Right. I thought it was awesome. I totally agree with you. All right, let's get Jay Berman's update after that. Reality Check Tuesday. We tell you what's real and what is not. Get these calls as well. 1-855-212-4227, 5 Eastern. Some NBA. LeBron spoke. Carmelo spoke. Give you a little sense of training camp stuff after Jay's update. Here's Jay Berman coming at you. All right, time for the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger here on Tiki and Tierney. Take a look at somebody who's getting it done this week. It's Chris Davis, the A's masher. League-leading 46th home run last night, and the A's went over Seattle. Now, Davis second only to J.D. Martinez and Ribbies as well, so he's an MVP candidate for sure. He's going to finish top three. The A's sit a game and a half back of the Yankees for the first wild-card spot with 5 to go. So, obviously, still a lot to decide where that wild-card game is going to be played. In East on the East Coast, Yankee Stadium, or the cavernous, sometimes dank and chilly Coliseum out there in the East Bay. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. All right, 40 minutes past the hour here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Full bank of calls. We'll hit them in a second. 855-212-4227. We've got a lot of NBA to start the next hour, so we'll jump into some of LeBron's comments and you know, how Walton's going to juggle that roster when Ball's healthy. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but we could expand on it. Carmelo spoke. Interesting. Do we believe him?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. And NBA camps are open, so we could get to that as well. Are you ready for Reality Check Tuesday?
I see
you jotting down some notes. Are you just getting it on time?
No, I'm just
ready?
Getting some further information from
bullet points
from my
here,
take.
Just to further reinforce it?
Yes.
Let's do it. Reality Check Tuesday. Here we go.
This is an easy one for me.
Utes.
Maybe because I know him well. My brother does. Mike Tomlin has been the target of a lot of criticism over the last year and a half, 2 years. A lot of it's based on the postseason work, but people are calling for his head saying he's going to get fired. I believe in Mike Tomlin. Here's why. He's lost so much. Todd Haley, offensive coordinator, leaves, goes to Cleveland. Le'Veon Bell, the second best position player, the best running back in the league, but the second best position player on this team to AB, is not even in camp and hasn't been around. Huge distraction. AB, who is the best player on this team, has been petulant, had some off-field stuff that he's had to navigate. Yet, on the road, as we talked about earlier, and by the way, Ben Roethlisberger is aging. Sometimes he's a little inconsistent. On the road, we talked about this at the beginning of our show, 12-1-1 his last 14 games. Mike Tomlin is still someone to believe in, so stop all the hate out there. The Miami Dolphins started the season 3-0, but they played the Tennessee Titans, who lost, and Marcus Mariota got hurt in that game. The New York Jets, who just had a bad day. They only rushed for 42 yards, the Jets did in that game. And then the Oakland Raiders, who are dysfunctional right now. But we want to position the Miami Dolphins as a team to take on the New England Patriots. I'm saying pump the brakes. I know Tannehill's doing fantastic right now, 73% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. But there's a couple of other numbers that jump out that kind of say, hold on, pause, just 1 second. 32% third down conversion rate, which is really low, but against better teams, those three and outs are not going to be as productive. And more importantly, only 44% in the red zone to scoring touchdowns, which is one of the lower figures in the league. Their defense, fortunately, is playing great. But I'm saying pump the brakes just a little bit on the Dolphins supplanting the New England Patriots in the AFC East. They still have the next week they have New England, and the following week they have Cincy. I guess then we'll know.
What if they win Sunday? What if they're 4-0 and the Pats are 1-3?
Then I'm changing my opinion.
Okay, here we go. Just checking. Okay, all right. My reality check. This is very real. Todd Bowles' seat getting warm, getting real warm, and Todd Bowles' seat's going to blow up in flames by November. It's going to get ugly here. I know we got the extension. Means nothing. Listen, I'm not going to rant and rave and yell because, quite frankly, I'm tired of it because I feel like I care more about whether or not the Jets win than he does. He shows no emotion. By the way, I know that that's not true.
Yeah.
I know that that's easy to say. I don't actually believe that. But when you're not playing good football and there's no emotion and there's no discipline, by the way, sloppy fouls, it seems like there's no consequences. Guys don't get benched. The first year was really good, 10-6. Then, okay, what you got from me here? 5-11. Okay, was that the aberration? Was the 10 wins the 5-11 again. Here we are, year 4, you're 1-2. And I think what's probably most disconcerting for Todd Bowles supporters, and I don't think there's a lot of them at this point, to be fair, He's now taking back the play-calling duties on defense, which is usually one of the last things that an embattled head coach reaches for before he gets shown the door. They got cap space, $90 million this offseason. You've got the franchise, Sam Darnold. You cannot waste time with a guy who does not know how to run an offense. He's a defensive guy, allegedly. You got to get a young coach or a proven offensive coach in here at some point. Todd Bowles will be gone. That's the reality. I got a little truth for you here pertaining to the Chargers. Any concern that the Chargers are in trouble, I wouldn't overreact to it. I still think the Chargers are going to be very good. I think they'll be among the top, but it's all said and done. You know, do you believe in the Bengals? Not as much as the Chargers. I'm thinking of those fringe teams. The Chargers are still one of the three or four best teams in the AFC, I think, in terms certainly of roster construction. Rivers, 70% on the year, 8 touchdowns, a pick. Melvin Gordon hasn't gotten going yet, so that's going to happen at some point. Mike Williams, by the way, their second-year wide receiver, is growing into a star. He's got 3 touchdowns already. He's on pace for 1,000 yards. Derwin James, we knew this the night they drafted him. Stud, steal, 17th out of Florida State. He's playing like a top-3 player. He's a superstar. And here's the thing. You know, they're playing, they played good teams. They played Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. They played good teams here. They just played the Rams.
You're right.
Their next two games are at home. They're playing the Niners and the Raiders. Don't worry. Chargers will get healthy. The Bolts are good. All right. There you go. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, you want to see what the people are saying?
Yeah, let's hear them.
See what the people are preaching? Let's get Matt in Pennsylvania. Matt's first up here on, first up this hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Matty, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, Matt, what you got?
Hey, just wondering why, you know, when like an offensive lineman puts hands to the face and he gets called for a penalty.
Yeah.
But yet the Pittsburgh wide receiver goes and crashes that guy in the head.
Yeah.
And scores. We're all celebrating that. Why isn't that a penalty?
Yeah, it should be, but it won't be. And we all know the answer because the NFL likes to make rules that are benefiting the offense as opposed to the defense because we need to see scoring. I think the actual answer is that offensive linemen who put their hands up into the face mask of defensive linemen end up ripping their helmets off and creating a disadvantage for them, right? You can't strike the head. Whereas a stiff arm, I mean, if it's a punch, it's one thing. Sometimes you actually do see those get called if they punch.
Mm-hmm.
But a stiff arm is really just shielding away. As long as they don't grab the face mask or punch, and Vance McDonald didn't. He kind of just pushed off and then kept his hand there and mushed
then went
him
back
down
for
the
some
ground.
More.
By the way, Chris Conte, to add insult to injury, is on IR.
With a bruised ego.
And done for the season. I actually think he hurt his knee.
Oh, look at
I don't
that.
Know if it was
oh,
on that
man,
play.
It's terrible.
God, it's just, oh, that is, that's one of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
mean, seriously, he's the worst I've ever seen.
You know what? Just embrace it because you're not going to run away from that moment. It's what it is.
Ever.
Everybody gets hit at some point.
Got mushed by Fred Jackson, too, about 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago.
Freddie Jackson, the running back for the Bills?
For the Bills.
I don't remember that one, did he?
It was exactly
so
the
he's,
same. It was exactly the same. BT.
He's mush vulnerable is what we're saying. He's a mush magnet.
Well, he tackles too high, man. Go low.
That's what I said. I hear you. Cynthia's in Reno, Nevada, and Cynthia's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Cynthia, what's happening? How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'd like to know what you guys think about Derek Carr and what can we do about rebuilding his team?
There's a lot of problems, Cynthia. Listen, it's easy to fixate and focus on the quarterback. It's a star-driven league. It's the quarterback who gets the big-time money, all the guaranteed loot. We know the story. There's some real problems within the guts of that team. Not that he's a problem.
No, he's not.
But I don't know that he's quite the asset that we thought he was 2 years ago before he got hurt.
Well,
that's up for debate.
Cynthia, there's a couple of things. I know you dropped, but thanks for the call. There's a couple of things that you notice that mistakes he shouldn't be making. There was one last weekend. He threw the fade route at the end. It was intercepted. That ball is either out of bounds or it's a touchdown, right? There should be no – you can't short arm that pass. And if you're in your first or second year, maybe your third year even, you could say, all right, I understand. You just haven't thrown it enough. You haven't seen that route enough. By now, he should have seen that enough. And when you talk about these frustrations that John Gruden is having with his quarterback, that's what it comes down to. It's the throws that the elite, you know, more veteran, because he's not a veteran yet, but the more veteran quarterbacks have, they don't make those mistakes, and he's still making them. To an extent, missing, you know, open throws downfield. We heard that from week one. And we talk about this frustration that John Gruden is starting to have, and he's already expressed with Derek Carr, it's not so much, you know, what do you got to put around him to fix him? It's I just don't know if he's had the requisite tutoring or repetitions at making the simple things, the things.
Well,
that
then
are,
how did he play so well his first year?
He was an MVP candidate. I have no idea, BT. But remember, the second year it was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'd have to go back and look at the circumstances around his rookie season. Because it felt like he was going to be the next superstar. Now it feels like he's going to be, you know, an average player.
14,
average above
best quarterback.
Player. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not a bad guy.
No,
not a
certainly
bad
not. Not a no, no.
But
they gave him a lot of, they didn't give him money to be the 15th best quarterback in the NFL.
Agreed. He's making like fourth best quarterback in the league money.
They better win this Sunday. They're hosting the Browns, all right? Because if they lose that, then they got to go to take on the Chargers at the StubHub Center. And they got Seattle. Oh, that's not a too tough.
I don't know.
Game
you think
here.
The Browns are? I mean, the Browns might be better than the Raiders.
I think the Browns are better, yeah. But I don't know that I trust the Browns as. I think the Browns are favored by a point or two. I don't know that I trust the Browns to get on a plane and deal with prosperity. On the road. I do think the Browns 1 through 53. I think they're better. I do. Keith's in New Mexico. Keith is on Tiki and Tierney. Keith, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Awesome.
You're good, man.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a take on the NFL, and I think Brandon, you've alluded to this before, but the other four major sports don't tend to have the problem of players holding out into the season, and the NFL I think really has to get a hold of this in some way, shape, or form. Hopefully during the next collective bargaining agreement or something like that, you know what I mean, they can figure out a way that players and owners can figure out how to get this done in the off season and not affect the season, because the only thing it does is negatively affect the sport and the franchise and the player.
Yeah, you know, Keith, here's one of the issues, and I think it's why it happens. The NFL has always been a next man up league. It's something happens, whatever. It could be, you know, a guy holds out or a guy tears his ACL. All right, next man up. You know, mm-hmm. we always have someone to replace you. I'm not sure if the other leagues look at their players like that. You know,
number one, they don't get hurt as much, so they don't have to.
Definitely, but I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just saying the reality of the NFL is it's always been a next man up league, and so if Le'Veon Bell is going to, you know, be non amenable to signing a market value, I mean, if you get a significantly above market value deal, because let's not forget he was offered $14 million a year. The average is like $8 million. And so a significantly above market value deal, he's going to ignore. The Steelers will look at it just like, all right, you just we can't afford it. We don't want to afford it, mm-hmm. and we have someone else. That's just how the NFL has always operated. It's not fair. It's not right.
It's definitely not.
But it is what it is, and it's not going to change until, I don't know, the cap gets so big that you don't feel it, you know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. the cap rules change as it pertains to franchising players. And so you can't do it back-to-back years. You can do it once.
Yeah.
I don't mind it once. But doing it back-to-back years for a position player who has a high likelihood of getting hurt and negatively impacting his future revenue potential, it's just not fair.
It's not fair when you get a tap out before you're 30. And the history of running backs, for the most part, there's obviously a few exceptions. You could have kept mm-hmm. going, and there's a few others that certainly did. But for the most part, you hit 30, you're a different player.
Yep.
Listen, I'm fine with the next man up philosophy. I've got a real fundamental issue when the next man up philosophy applies to, you know, one of the five best players in the league.
Agreed.
There's got to be different rules for the stars.
I 100% agree.
It's just got to be.
He's been the best running back consistently for the last 3 years. And
it's a two-way beast.
And he catches 85 passes a year, rushes for 1,400 yards a season, scores 12 touchdowns. Look, he's got 42 total touchdowns in 5 seasons.
And he's on a winning team.
And they don't value him the way he wants to be valued, or they just can't work out a deal that makes sense to go long-term. Because they could do the deal. It just would have to go really long-term. But who's doing that for a running back that's almost 28 years old?
No, and, you know, I can't prove this, but I think that if Le'Veon Bell was maybe a little more grounded when he first came into the league, mm-hmm. you know, the weed, some of the that it's a big deal, but the indiscretions
by the
that
way,
we know
he never failed a test. It was all associative stuff.
I hear you. But he's given them a few reasons to pause.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to do that with the Giants. I don't think David Johnson is going to do that with the Cardinals. No. I don't think Todd Gurley is going to do that with the Rams.
Right.
He's unique as a talent, but he's also a little unique in terms of what he's put out there for people to critique, you know? Third hour coming up. Get some hoops.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.